Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. We're excited to be with you. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Lasolala. We are fortunate today to have back with us two guests that were on the program with us last time we were on the air. We have Dr. Matt Olson, who is president of Northland Baptist Bible College. It's a privilege to have you on the show.
It's great to be here. I'm glad I
can. I guess it's a program. Well, we're glad you're here. Your wife, Diane, how long have you all been married?
We've been married almost 25 years.
25 years. And you've got?
We have three children. Sarah now, I think, is 22. She's married here on staff at Northland. Her husband is a youth pastor up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And he also serves here at Northland. I've got a son who is at Marquette University studying physiology, wanting to go to medical school. He was here at Northland for 3 years and then transferred up there and then wants to continue pursuing wherever the Lord will lead him and serving in medical missions or somewhere serving the Lord that way. And then Reed, who is a senior in high school, so he's just finishing up. Mm-hmm. We have one at home now.
So you're about ready to be the empty nester guy.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, I bet. And Captain Olson, your wife is?
Betty.
Betty, and you've been married for?
For just over 50 years.
50
we just
years.
Celebrated 50 years. Perhaps I'd take a couple of minutes to tell you how I met her.
Oh,
because
great.
I was my last year at the Naval Academy, and it seemed like most of my classmates, some of the things that were high on the list were, well, you're going to get married, you're going to get a new car, and you're going to get a gray flannel suit. And at that time, I had none of them. Well, I was able to get the suit. That wasn't so bad. And my father generously gave me his used car with about 90 or 100,000 miles. At that, in those days, that many miles on a car were a lot of miles. But I didn't have anything in line as far as a wife. And I had some friends at the academy who had would sometimes, as they brought their girlfriends down for the weekend, would bring an extra girl, and I would be escort. And they were nice girls.
You were the fifth wheel.
I was the fifth wheel, and many of them were Christian girls, but it was just, I was a Christian and at that time, and I wanted God's choice on this. And so I can remember very clearly one getting up one Sunday morning, and if you want to have your devotions, they didn't turn the lights on until I think it was 6 o'clock. So if you wanted to have some private time, you had to go find a place, and I found a janitor's closet. I can remember that there was no chair in there, but there was a bucket, so I turned the bucket upside down, and I was sitting there having my devotions. And I say this because I think some of the decisions that you make, you don't realize how significant they are when you're making them. It's not that always that they're the most important things, but they set your course as to how you're going to make other decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember very clearly saying to the Lord, if you wanted me to be single, that I would be happy to be single, and if you wanted me to get married, that he would provide the one at the right time. I did not want to experiment. And it was just a short time after that I went up to a weekend retreat that was hosted by, I think it was called the Nurses Christian Fellowship. It was sort of a spinoff of InterVarsity that my wife, who is not my wife, was affiliated with in Baltimore, Maryland. At that time, I went to this conference and I saw her and nothing clicked. I stayed overnight with a friend, and he picked her up the next day. Nothing clicked. And after church, I didn't sit with her, and nothing clicked. And then after the service was over, he said, you guys wait here for me, and I got to take some people home. So she and I were out in the vestibule of the church, and it was one of the first times that I could ever talk to somebody who loved Christ. And as best I know my heart, I was drawn to her inner spirit before my eyes were opened, and I said, she's also pretty. But
so it clicked at that point.
It clicked, and there has never been a doubt in my mind that this was God's choice. And I know that that's just my own personal experience, but I would just wish that everybody could have that confidence that they're in the will of God. Mm-hmm. Because it's too important of a choice to make on your own.
Right.
So that's just a little bit of a spinoff. We have three children. Matt's the oldest. We have a daughter who's married to a dentist, and they live in Bristol, Virginia. He has a practice in Abingdon. They have four children, two of whom are here at Northland, the students. And he has made a number of missions trips to Ecuador with Christian groups ministering down there. And then the youngest one is Martha, and she's married to a pastor in Virginia Beach. He's our pastor, and he's of Colonial Baptist Church. He's also president of Central Baptist Theological Seminary. They have four children, and two two of them are also here at Northland. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Matt and his family are here.
Doc, we've been talking about how we met our spouses. How did you meet Charlene?
The day I surrendered to full-time ministry, went into the Secretary of Heaven's office and signed my life over.
Secretary of Heaven, that's pretty good.
I met Charlene that day, not knowing 2 years later she would be my wife. But it was God's appointment. The timing was perfect. I never had any question that God brought her into my life. It's a much longer story than that. But that was God's appointment, and it was a perfect appointment.
And you've been married to her for
42 years.
42 years. So we've got, you're at 42, and you're at 50, and you're at 25. We have men here today in the studio that are committed to marriage and committed to what it takes. And I'm sure that there have been times along the way where you know, pressures have come. And one of those pressures is in the rearing of children. And we were talking about that in our last broadcast. And I know, Doc O, we've actually had the privilege of having one of your children on the program with us on a number of occasions, John David. And then your son Stephen is out in Hawaii. He was showing me a card yesterday when we were talking, and he has adopted, I know he's got three of his own, and he adopted two
Hawaiian children,
older Hawaiian children.
And they are now in a foster situation with the third child from that family, and they are in the process of adoption. That social services approached them if they would consider that responsibility as well. And they're busy.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's going 70 hours a week with teaching at the Christian school and the assistant pastor at the mm-hmm. church, and then running a tree and a lawn business to keep food on the table. It's a blessing to hear his passion to see God work.
You've got two other daughters, Lisa and Tammy. And how many grandchildren now?
Nine.
Nine grandchildren. And my wife and I have been married for almost 20 years now, so I'm the young guy in the bunch here. I'm the guy who hasn't got all the experience that you guys have. We were talking about raising children, and Captain Olson, you had made an observation about really this coming down to the grace of God in terms of coming to the Scriptures and really casting yourself on what God said. And then you observed a very significant thing for us, and we actually spent a good bit of the broadcast talking about the influence of your friends on the life of your children. And I wonder if you could maybe expand on that a little bit. And I know, Matt, you had a couple of comments that I think would really fit into what we're talking about here.
Well, this is something that I never really planned and never tried to orchestrate, but it just sort of developed. At one period in our lives when we were stationed in the Washington, D.C. area, the church that we were involved in, which was Montrose Baptist Church, had a ministry up at Summit Lake Camp, up near Camp David. And the pastor of the church had taken an interest in Matt, and he invited him up there to do a lot of different things. I think he went from every place from a, I guess they call them sanitation engineers when you clean out the barn, to being a counselor at the camp. And I think that it was at that camp where Matt, he was involved in building buildings and cleaning up brush and doing all the kind of donkey work that was around. But he also became acquainted with the pastor, had a big influence on his life, and the other men in the church who went up there on weekends to do construction work and so forth. And I think that it was something that impacted Matt far more than we ever thought would happen, because I think it was there that he became convinced that this was God's call for his life. Mm-hmm. And it was through the people there that exposed him to the gospel.
And through the ministry of a local church.
Yes.
That you and your wife were involved with.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what would you say in terms of the whole parenting concept has been really something that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I think that a lot of times we'll scour the bookstore, and there's so many books written today. And you know, when I started off parenting, I was operating off a model, an example of what I had seen. And I think that's what most of us do, whether we do it consciously or not. It's how we were brought up, and I think we do that with the strengths and the weaknesses that we witness. So some of those can be strengthened or corrected by the things that we read. But just reading the books doesn't make a child turn out the way that you think that they're going to turn out. I think that you go through that whole process, you realize how much of it is the grace of God, just dependence upon Him to shape that life. And I think probably as I look back, the thing that impacted my life the most was not what my parents taught me. It's the example of their lives. And we've said often to our teachers here at Northland that it's not what we teach so much that we reproduce, it's what we are. That's a scary thought because, you know, it's the model of my life. And none of us will be a perfect model. And my dad is not a perfect model. My mom was not a perfect model. But they were good, strong models, and if they did make a mistake, they'd make it right. I think the thing that influenced me was the choices they made, the direction that they were moving constantly, and the adjustments. When there was something wrong, they would address it and deal with it. And my dad and I have talked a lot about this, that it's the process. It's not perfection, it's direction. So you stumble along the way. I think that even to this day, as my dad is in his 70s and I'm in my late 40s, that whenever we get together, there's a freshness with my mom and dad of what God's doing in their life. He's teaching them new things. He's challenging them about areas that they need to change in their lives. And so I think that when you are in a growing environment, in other words, your parents are not just coasting, they're not stagnant with what they heard 20 years ago. There is a fresh, live growth that you can't help but be part of that process. Mm-hmm. And so there are many things that I think even today that I think back, they start to click later. But that I would say would be, you know, the example of their lives, watching them make those decisions and things that they would or wouldn't do. I can remember going, you know, we'd move probably every 1, 2, or 3 years, be in a new church.
Was that because of military?
That's right. Right. Usually every 2 years for the first half of my 27 years, and then probably 3 years in the last half. But we were on the move a lot.
How did that affect you? How did that impact you?
Well, for the most part, I think it was a great experience. We got to live all around the world, live in Japan, lived in Turkey, lived in Virginia and Maryland and Rhode Island and California. Those were great experiences. It was difficult moving to a new school. I think I was probably in 11 different schools. It probably wasn't hard until the last move. The last move was right after my junior year of high school, and I did not want to move. But it was that year that the move had a spiritual impact on my life, so it ended up being a very good thing for me.
And we'll pick that up in our next broadcast. I'm really interested to hear about that because we do have numbers of folks in our listening audience who are military men or women, and their families do have the impact that comes with that. But this has been a fascinating discussion, and we want to pick this up in our next broadcast. And until then, we trust the Lord will continue to bless and keep all of you who listen to us. Thank you for praying for us and for all of you who call in or write in and let us know that the Lord is using the broadcasts in your life. We look forward to the next time that we're together on the Word for Life radio broadcast.